Hare Krishna, once again to everyone. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Har Grace Kirtida Sundari Mataji to enlighten us on the topic, the story of the Shyamantakamani jewel. So Hare Krishna Kirtida Mataji, Dandavat Panam, please accept my humble obeisances. Always to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your very valuable time and association. Before handing the call to you, I would like to hand over the call to Preeti Vilasini Mataji to give the brief introduction about you. Preeti Vilasini Mataji, please take over the call.
Thank you, Radhika. Thank you, Radharani Mataji, for this opportunity. I'm very, very happy, excited, and honored to be introducing the stimulus behind Bhakti Sangha. Kirtida Sundari Mataji is one of the core members on whom the energy of Bhakti Sangha Japa group rests. She was born on 18 September 1976 and she was introduced to Krishna consciousness in 2009. She got her first initiation in 2011 and second in 2013. She is an ardent disciple of His Holiness Bhaktisharu Swami Maharaj, and she's a seasoned ripened fruit in Krishna consciousness. And this is very evident in her confidence when she delivers several lectures. She has humility in conduct, and her indisputable knowledge in shastras and strict following of the instructions of her spiritual master is the decoration of this wonderful Vaishnavi. Her power-packed classes are convincing, and they are loaded with take-home lessons that we can easily apply in our daily life. Anyone who hears her lecture is completely convinced of the details that she presents. Her whole family is fully immersed in Krishna consciousness. Her husband, His Grace Ajay Govind Prabhu, is a great preacher, and he also uses his photography skills from time to time in different retreats. He's also a wonderful cook. Her son Ujjwal Rasanandas is an excellent kirtanier, a role model for youngsters, and an avid preacher too. She's a very wonderful devotee with a great vision, and she infuses enthusiasm among all the Bhakti Sangha coordinators, and she brings her ideas into reality for the pure pleasure of Krishna. She has been coordinating the mid-morning sessions for over a decade. Actually, she's one of the founding members of the mid-morning sessions that happen over this call. She brings speakers from all over the world. She manages the classes, and she also is the main instructor of the Bhagavad Gita series that was introduced by Bhakti Sangha for newcomers. And she's, of course, a regular speaker on the mid-morning classes. She's a great counselor, guiding several devotees both in her area in Hillsborough, North Carolina, as well as several devotees around the world. She's very active in the temple of Radha Golokananda, where she is engaged in elegantly dressing the deities, one of the best deity dressers I have seen. She does impeccable pujari services, opulent boga cooking that can make anyone want to fly to North Carolina just to taste. And she gives inspirational classes both in the temple as well as in several Bhakti Vriksha programs that she conducts in her local area. We are very, very happy to have such a wonderful person with us. She's a friend, a devotee, and she means a lot to everyone on Bhakti Sangha, the very face of the mid-morning classes. So very proud to have her on the call. And Mataji will be speaking on the Shyamantakamani pastime. Hare Krishna Kirtida Sundari, you can take over.
Jai. Thank you. Thank you so much, Preeti Vilasini Mataji. Finally, you ended. I thought the entire class will be my glorification.
When Radharani Mataji said brief introduction, I wanted to stop and tell her not a brief one this time.
Oh, Krishna, but whatever you said is not true, really not true. It's totally an exaggeration of what all you said. But still, I would say it's out of love that you made such a huge glorification. But seriously, I don't deserve it. And rather cooking, you said anybody could fly. I have never seen anybody flying to North Carolina just to taste prasadam. That itself is a pramana. Yeah, but thank you each and every one of you for assembling together to the second last final session of Krishna Katha Mela, and tomorrow we'll be having the grand finale by His Holiness His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. So we'll start now. And thank you once again for everyone giving and sharing your valuable time with all of us. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshitarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Guruve Gaura Chandraya Radhikaya Tadalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tat Bhaktaya Namo Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalum Kam Angum Langayate Girim Yat Kripaha Tamham Vande Shri Guru Dina Dharinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Ishwaram. So Hare Krishna, so today we will be covering the pastime of the Samantaka jewel. And this comes in the 10th canto, 56th chapter. So we will be covering 56 and 57, both the chapters, because both the chapters are linked. But before we start, again, I will like to seek all your blessings, prayers, so that I may speak something relevant to this topic. And definitely, whatever I'm planning to speak, Krishna willing, is only and only for my purification. The class may sound little instructive, but all those instructions are purely for me so that I can imbibe those instructions in my life and be able to progress in my spiritual life. So for all that, I seek blessings from each and every one of you. Vancha kalpatarupascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So, Samantaka jewel. Yes. So, this comes in the 56th chapter of the 10th canto. Right? So, as we know that in the previous chapter, not previous, but one chapter before this, Sukadev Goswami has described about the marriage of Mother Rukmini and Krishna. So after describing about Mother Rukmini and Krishna, Sukadev Goswami wants to describe the other marriages of Lord Shri Krishna. So therefore, this chapter entitled Is Samantaka Jewel, because hearing this pastime will lead to other two marriages of Lord Shri Krishna, that is with Satyabhama and with Jambavati. So that we will know in detail. So before starting, I would just say, because all of you wonderful speakers, I was so inspired by each and every one of you, that how wonderfully you have covered the most of the important pastimes of 10th canto. So some have described about the Mathura Leela, some has described about Vrindavan Leela, and of course many of you have touched upon Dwarka Leela also. So Krishna Leela is actually broadly categorized in three aspects. First is the Mathura Leela, where Krishna took his janma, that is, he appeared in Mathura. And then his childhood pastimes, that is in Vrindavan Leela. And the final is the Dwarka Leela. So yesterday also, Her Grace Preeti Vilasini Mataji was discussing on Dwarka Leela about the pastime of Paundrika. So now in continuation with the Dwarka Leela also only, we will continue with this Samantaka pastime. So I would like to read the first verse and first and second verse, and then we'll continue. So this is from Canto 10, chapter 56, verse number 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 10, chapter 56, verse number 1. Shishuka Vacha Satrajita Tvatanyam Krishnaya Kritakilbhisha Shamantek Kena Manina Swayam Udhyama Dattavan. So what Sukadeva Goswami is saying, Satrajita Swatanayam, Satrajit. So he's talking about Satrajit, who Swatanayam. Tanaya is actually the daughter, the son, but when it is with a big R, it is daughter. It's the female thing that represents. So Sukadeva Goswami is saying that Krishnaya Kritakilbhisha, after committing an offense against Krishna, Satrajit presented her own daughter to Krishna. And not only her daughter, but Samantaka Jumani. He also gives a Samantaka Mani. Swam Udhyama Dattavan. He personally went and gave both these things, presented these two things to Krishna. So just all of a sudden, Sukadev Goswami started with this pastime of Satrajit, that how, you know, after marrying Mother Rukmini, now Sukadev Goswami is telling that Satrajit presented her daughter, his daughter, and of course the Samantaka jewel that he had, he presented both of the things to Krishna. So definitely when such arrows are being shot by Sukadev Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj always want to pause him because he wants to know the detail. So he said, Shri Raja Vacha Satrajita Kim Akarod Brahman Krishnaya Kilvishaya Samantakaha Kutastasya Kasma Datta Sutahare. So he said, Maharaj Parikshit said, O Brahmana, O Sukadev Goswami, what did King Satrajit did actually to offend Krishna? So he wants to know the detail. And where did he get this Samantaka jewel? So first of all, what offense he committed? Why he presented Samantaka jewel to Krishna? Where did he get it? And why he presented Samantaka jewel and his daughter also? Like, what made Satrajit present his own daughter to the Supreme Lord? So these were the two three questions actually. First, he said that where did he get Samantaka jewel? Second, what apradh, what offense he did against Lord Krishna? And third is that why did he present his daughter to Supreme Lord Shri Krishna? So these were the three questions that made Sukadev Goswami elaborate on this entire pastime. So Sukadev Goswami started narrating that in Dwarkapuri, in Dwarka Dham, there was a personality and his name was Satrajit. So though Satrajit was staying in Dwarka, he was a Dwarkavasi, and Dwarka is none other than Krishna's abode. So he was in Krishna's abode. He was in Dwarka. He was a resident of Dwarka. But still, he used to worship Suryadev. He used to worship Sun God. And Sun God was very, very satisfied by his worship. And Harivamsa Puran describes that actually when Vivaswan, Sun God, he appeared before Satrajit, because Satrajit was doing a lot of meditation to please the Sun God, to please Suryadev. And after his meditation, Vivaswan appeared before Satrajit, and Satrajit spoke to Vivaswan, that is the Supreme Lord, the Surya, the Sun God, and he said, oh, just like I see you in the sky, you know, so now, when you are right in front of me, I can see you in the same way. Means when we look at the sun in the sky, we are not able to look directly with our eyes because the sun shines so brightly. Our eyes get blinded, you know, when we see directly the sun. So Satrajit also said the same thing, that you are shining so brightly in front of me that my eyes are blinded. And because of the effulgence that is coming out from you, I'm not able to see you properly. So I want to have your darshan. So hearing this, Vivaswan, what he did, he took out the Samantaka jewel that he was wearing around his neck. He took out, and as soon as he took out, the effulgence of sun god, you know, a little bit decreased, and finally Satrajit could see, you know, his worshipable day, his worshipable lord, sun god. So Vivaswan was immensely pleased by the worship of Satrajit. So what he did is that he presented the Samantaka jewel to Satrajit. And he said, I'm so happy with your worship, so kindly take this. So this answered the this Parikshit Maharaj first question, that who gave Samantaka jewel to Satrajit, how Satrajit got. So actually, Vivaswan, the sun god, presented this Samantaka jewel to Satrajit, being pleased out of his worship. So now Satrajit wore the Samantaka jewel, and after wearing the Samantaka jewel, he entered the Dwaraka city. So naturally, the Samantaka jewel was very, very effulgent. And as soon as he entered the Dwaraka city, no one was able to recognize him. Rather, because of the effulgence that was coming out from that mani, everybody thought that sun god personally has come to meet Sri Krishna. And at that time, Sri Krishna was playing dice in the palace of Mother Rukmini. And one of the messenger went and told Lord Sri Krishna that sun god Vivaswan has personally come to see you. And Krishna simply smiled, because he is the knower of the entire three worlds. He knows who has come and what's the point. And so he knows that this is not sun god, but rather Satrajit, who is glowing because of the Samantaka jewel that he was wearing. So and we will discuss the entire pastime. But as it is said that Krishna's pastimes are so sweet that they can be narrated in 10 to 15 minutes to a small child as a bedtime story. But also the same pastimes can be digged down and can be relished, and can be so much lessons can be learned from these pastimes. So we, you know, not as children, we will not hear just the story, but we will dig out many new lessons from these pastimes. So the new lessons that we will learn from these pastimes have been, I've tried to did it with R's, you know, R for Radharani. So 8 R's we will learn, with the 8 lessons we will learn from this entire pastime. Okay, so just want to bring that. So finally, Krishna knew that this is not sun god, but he is just the Satrajit, who is one of the Dwarkavasi, who has come. And he is glowing because of the Samantaka jewel he is wearing. So here we come with the first lesson, first R, that is rationalize your thinking. Okay, so this is how even the Dwarkavasis did. They didn't rationalize, you know, that they didn't took out the fact that who has actually come, whether he's really a sun god, but they just assumed that, oh, because of the effulgence that is coming, so he's non-different from sun god. So therefore, they just went and informed Krishna that sun god has come to meet you. So sometimes we also see the external glare of an object, or external demeanor of a person, or a person who is very, very charismatic, we get so much attracted. And we just present some more glory and importance to that person. You know, without even rationalizing, without even truthfully understanding that what exactly it is, right? So we have to really rationalize. We should not get attracted just to the external charisma of any kind of a person. They may be carrying some demeanor, but we should not be attracted. We should really think that what they are in their life. You know, now here I don't mean that from here onwards we should start judging people. No, that should not be the attitude. I don't mean that from here you start judging people. The point is that, yes, a certain kind of discrimination is really needed. Needed, why? Because we are trying to associate with those persons. And if we just get attracted to some external charismatic that person is carrying or the person is, then, it will not be good for us. So we should really try to associate with serious devotees who may not be the charismatic, who may not be able to carry themselves properly, but they are spiritually very, very strong. So we should really think, to whom are we associating? Because we do carry the qualities with whom we are associating with. So if we are associating with really advanced devotees who have real taste in the holy name, or have really taste in Krishna Katha, then naturally we will also be advancing in our Krishna Bhakti. So this is the first star, that we should always rationalize our thinking. Now then, finally, coming back to the story, Krishna revealed the truth to the citizens of Dwarka that he is not sun god, but he is Satrajit, who is just one of the citizens of Dwarka, who is just a Dwarkavasi. So Satrajit then finally went to his home. He didn't go to meet Krishna because that was not his agenda at all. So he went to his home. He organized a big festival. He called many qualified brahmanas. He invited them to install Samantaka jewel in the temple room of his house. So Sukhdev Goswami then describes that this Samantaka jewel is very, very auspicious. This gem, he describes, would produce 8 bharas of gold every day. 8 bharas, Prabhupada in the purport writes, which is approximately 170 pounds of gold every day. Okay, so it's not an ordinary money. It's not an ordinary jewel. So this jewel produced 8 bharas of gold, which is approximately 170 pounds of gold every day. And moreover, wherever this Samantaka jewel is placed, that place itself becomes very, very auspicious. There will be no famine, no drought, no mental or physical disorders. Practically, that place will be free of all kind of calamities. Now you can imagine, first of all, there will be no calamities and so much of opulence, so much of wealth, so much of gold. So there come our second lesson, that is another R, which is resources without any realization ends up into destruction. So yes, whatever resources we have, we should use it properly, that we should use it intelligently. We should use it in a Krishna conscious way, because if we used any resource without any realization, then that's going to lead to some kind of destruction. Now, resources can be material, can be human, can be even spiritual. So any resource we have, we should use it intelligently. We should have proper God realization before using any kind of resource. And yes, human resource, like if husband thinks that my wife is my property, and wife thinks, well, my husband is just my ATM machine and I can use my husband and my spouse in the way I want. Well, can we imagine that family be ever happy? No. But if we have a Krishna conscious realization that this spouse is not for me, not for my enjoyment, but he and she is a devotee of Krishna whom I have to take care, then what happened? Krishna has intervened. There is Krishna in the center. So definitely that relationship will be more strengthening. So otherwise, similarly, like other material resources we have, we should always use it properly. Yes, Prabhupada has given us the principle of Yukta Vairagya. Right? So having opulence is not a problem. Having a big car, having a mansion or a bungalow or a big house, that's not a problem. But how we are using that, is a problem. If we are simply using these big, big opulences that have been given to us by Krishna, then if we are using it for our sense gratification, then yes, it's a problem. But if the same opulence, we use it for Krishna's service, then it becomes a devotional service. So opulence is not a problem, but how we are using the opulence is what has to be considered. So here, even Satrajit, you know, we know that how much opulence now he had, but he didn't put Krishna in the center. He want to enjoy himself. Why? That we will see now. That on one occasion in the pastime, what happened? That Krishna came to Satrajit's place. And he advised Satrajit that such jewels, you know, that you have should be actually with the king. So Krishna requested Satrajit to give this jewel to King Ugrasen. Because Krishna knew that Satrajit has no realization whatsoever to use this resource properly. After all, so much gold, 170 pounds of gold, can you imagine, into 30, into 365. So how many pounds of gold would have been? So much gold, how can Satrajit be able to enjoy by himself? Such wealth also brings some, you know, not a good auspicious sign, because if we don't know how to use properly, then a lot of bad habits accompany with a lot of opulence if we don't have a proper realization how to use those opulence. So Krishna suggested to Satrajit that you should please go and present this jewel to King Ugrasen. Because what resource can be enjoyed by thousands and hundreds and thousands of people cannot be enjoyed by one single person. If this jewel is with king, then definitely the opulence of the entire kingdom will increase. And a lot of more facilities can be provided to the citizens because there is so much of opulence, right? So if it is with the king can take care of the entire kingdom properly. But if it is with one person, then how much one can enjoy with so much of opulence? But Satrajit, having no realization whatsoever, he was so greedy that he simply refused the advice of Krishna. And he immediately said that I am not going to present this jewel to king. This is for me. I got it due to my intense meditation. Sun God presented it to me. So I am not going to give it. Lord repeatedly told him, but he refused. He said, no, I am not. He rejected the advice of Lord Shri Krishna. So here comes our third R, the third lesson, that is rejection to the good advice of seniors. Yes, sometimes we also trust that whatever I am thinking, whatever decision I am making is perfect. I don't want advice of others. We reject the advice which is given to us by our spiritual masters or by our shiksha gurus, our mentors, our counselors. We refuse their advice. But we should understand that they are giving the advice out of their experience. What they have experienced, what mistakes that they have committed, they don't want us to commit. So that's why through their experience, they want to share some knowledge to us. So when we are approaching, see, if we don't want to want a good advice from others, better not to approach. But if seniors are giving some advice, even if we are not approaching, if they are giving some good advice, we should at least ponder on it. I'm not saying just accept whatever comes, unless and until the advice has been given to your spiritual master, by your spiritual master, then yes, we should not even give it a second thought to it, because spiritual master is a direct representative of Lord Shri Krishna. So rather, the advice or the instructions that has been given by spiritual master should be taken as one's heart and soul, you know. But others, the seniors who give some advice, at least we should ponder on it. We should think, you know, we should give it a second thought that really should I follow and you know, what's harm in it? Let me give it a try. Or at least think of it. Not like Satrajit, who simply rejected on face of Krishna that I am not going to present this jewel to king. So in this way, you know, we should not reject the good advice which is given to us by our seniors. So, and of course, as I said, the advice of spiritual master should be taken up as the instructions, you know, should be taken without any second thought. Why? Because we know that's a third offense, Guru Avagya, right? So if we don't follow the instructions that is being given to us by our spiritual master, then we are committing offense by disobeying the orders of a spiritual master, which is an offense. So how can we expect taste in holy name? We cannot. But now someone can say, well, I don't have any instructions given to me by my spiritual master. Yes, directly those instructions may not have been given to us. But the Vani of Guru is presented, especially we are in this age, we are so advanced in this technology that through this media, we have so many recorded lessons. We have so much recorded Vani of our Guru. So through those lessons, through those classes, we can imbibe those lessons. Though they have not been personally given to us, they may have been given in a general public mass, in mass. But still, we should try to grab those instructions and think it as the personal instructions and try to follow. For example, I'll just give you an example of myself. Like my Gurudev never told me, wake up early in the morning, chant your rounds, you know. But in one of the sessions where I was present in one of the retreat, he told that how much importance it is to chant your prescribed number of rounds in Brahma Muhurta. So that instruction was not personally given to me. But being a good disciple, it is our duty to take those instructions as the personal instruction, because Guru will not have time to give each an instruction to each and every of the devotee. Some personal instructions may or may not be given, but otherwise, in general, whatever the spiritual master wants from us, he'll give it in the class, right? So take those instructions and follow it. So this is regarding spiritual master, but other seniors, those who give some kind of advice, at least give it a second thought, rationalize it properly, and then execute. But here we saw that how Satrajit simply rejected the advice of Krishna. He did not see that it would produce a great disaster for himself. And already inauspicious results for Satrajit's refusal started to manifest. How? Then one day, Satrajit's brother, his name was Prasena, he wore this jewel around his neck just to show off his opulence, and he went to the forest for hunting. Now, this Samantaka jewel is so special that it is placed in an altar also where you can worship, but it can also be worn on around the neck like a necklace. So Prasena, Satrajit's brother, he wore this Samantaka jewel and he went on his horse and he went to the forest for hunting. But unfortunately, what happened? A lion came and there was a big encounter with the lion. And finally, the Prasena, this Satrajit's brother Prasena, he was killed by the lion. And even his horse was also killed by a lion. So lion, what he did, he took that money, that Samantaka jewel, and he went around one of the mountain cave. And in the mountain cave, the lion had an encounter with a bear. His name was Jambavan. And lion was killed by Jambavan. And finally, Samantaka jewel came to Jambavan. So Jambavan, what he did is that he took the jewel without realizing its importance. He is just a bear, right? So he took inside his cave, his mountain cave, he took the jewel and he gave it to his son as a toy for playing. Now this valuable Samantaka jewel was serving toy for Jambavan's son who was in the cave. Now, this Jambavan is the same bear who assisted Lord Rama in Lord Rama in finding Mother Sita. How? He was the one who inspired Hanuman to make him remember his powers to jump across Lanka and find Mother Sita. So Jambavan was very, very instrumental in finding Mother Sita. So this is the same Jambavan. Now I'm talking about Dwapar Yuga, where Treta Yuga has already passed. But in Dwapar Yuga also, the Jambavan was still there. So now this money was serving as a toy for Jambavan's son. Meanwhile, in Dwarka, what happened when Prasena didn't come back home, Satrajit was very, very anxious. And he practically assumed that out of animosity, Krishna has purposely killed his brother. So Satrajit started spreading this rumor about the Lord in the entire Dwarka city. And very beautiful, Sukadev Goswami writes, Karna Karna Japanjana, that in the ear of, like, this rumor was passing from one ear to another, to another, to another, and entire Dwarka city, this rumor was spread that Krishna, out of animosity, killed Prasena. So this jewel is definitely with Lord Shri Krishna. So here comes our fourth lesson, that is the fourth R, which is rumor. So what is rumor actually? Rumor is to spread or to report or a statement without knowing the authority, whether that statement is true or not. So spreading rumor and being part of it is a big instrument in one's spiritual fall down. Yes, we should always try to be not a part of any kind of rumor that is spreading. So either we should just close our ears, keep it to ourselves if we hear something, if we overhear something, or we should, if we really have the stamina, then we should go to the truth. We should go to the root, that whether the rumor that has come to me is true or not. But in finding out the truth, that doesn't mean that we ourselves spread to others, hey, I listen something. Do you know it is true or not? And the other person will go to another. Do you think it is true or not? Well, that is spreading rumor only. So either we can just, if we overhear anything, just shut our mouth, be silent. Or if we really want, we can go to the source, go to the root, and try to find out without spreading it to others. So we should always remember this triple filter test. You all must be knowing that how in Greece, I'll just say in short, in Greece, there was a Socrates who was a famous philosopher, and he was being visited by someone. And that man wants to share some news about a friend of the Socrates. And so the Socrates replied that before telling me, you have to pass the triple filter test. You have to tell me whether whatever the news that you are giving me about my friend is true. If it is true, okay, hold on, still hold on, don't tell me. Then you have to tell, okay, think that whether whatever you are going to tell me is good or bad. If it is good, only then tell, otherwise don't. And the third thing he said, if it is necessary for me to know or not. So if it is false, better shut your mouth, don't tell. If it is not good, then also I'm not interested to hear anything bad about my friend. And thirdly, is it really useful for me? Is it really necessary for me to know? If it is not, then what's the point? So even if somebody in our day-to-day life wants to tell us something about someone, we should first rationalize it properly. We should think whether it is really useful for me. If the conversation has started, we can very politely end the conversation in between. And we should not basically hear any Vaishnava Ninda. The basic point is not to be the part of Vaishnava Ninda. And especially the rumor, that's just, if we overhear something, the best way is to keep silent. Just be silent, keep it to your own self. Have a good digestive system in digesting such statements about others, and don't spread it. Otherwise, it will be for our spiritual fall down, just like Satrajit. just assumed something and started blaspheming Krishna in the entire Dwarka city. So we should try to voice our opinions and ask ourselves whether what I'm saying something about others, whether it is true, whether it is good, or the person whom I'm telling, whether that news should be useful to that person or not. If not, then just be quiet. Keep it to your own self. No need to spread. So here, Satrajit also, not knowing the fact, he simply started defaming Krishna, blaspheming Krishna by spreading some rumors about him. So definitely when the entire Dwarka city came to know, so Krishna also came to know. Krishna heard this rumor and he wanted to remove this scar on his reputation. So what he did is, he took some Dwarka Vasis with him and he went in the direction where Prasena went. Because Krishna wants to prove that he is not the part of this thing, this killing of Prasena, and neither he possess any Samantaka jewel. He doesn't have any. So he wants to prove this point. So he went, he took some of the Dwarka Vasis along with him and he went in the direction where Prasena went. So in forest, Krishna saw that both the horse and Prasena were dead and they were killed by lion. Krishna came to know. And finally, Krishna also saw the dead body of a lion near one of the cave. So thinking that he could find some clue inside the cave, Krishna told the Dwarkavasis to stand out, wait for him, wait outside, and he all alone went inside the cave to find some clue. And as soon as he went inside, and that was the cave of Jambavan, and as soon as he went inside, he saw that a little child was playing with the Samantaka jewel. So Krishna took that jewel from the child. And we know that if we take something from the child, what does the child do? Child started crying. And hearing the cry of a child, immediately Jambavan came out. And Jambavan, he saw the Lord. And not recognizing him, that this Lord, this Krishna, is his own supreme Lord Rama, he didn't realize. Just, you know, seeing his child crying, he immediately became so angry and he attacked Lord Shri Krishna. Not recognizing the Lord, considering him an ordinary person, Jambavan started fighting with the Lord who was his own master. So here comes our fifth R, is to recognize. Yes, Jambavan could not recognize his own Lord and considered him as an ordinary person. And what Jambavan happened with him? That he saw his crying child. And just after seeing the crying child, he immediately got angry. And as soon as he became angry, he practically lost his intelligence. The famous verse of Bhagavad Gita, Dhayato Vishayan Pumsa Sangas Teshu Pajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kamat Krodha Vijayate Krodha Bhavati Sammoha Sammoha Smriti Vikrama Vibramaha Smriti Bhramsad Buddhinasho Buddhinasha Pranashyati. Yes, from attachment, because he was so attached to his son, Jambavan was so attached. So from attachment, lust develops. So here, lust is not something related to sexual thing, but lust is something that you want to desire, you want to possess. So from attachment that lust developed and lust was not fulfilled, naturally anger arises. And when the anger is there, there is a complete delusion arises. And from delusion, bewilderment of memory. And when memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, there is a complete fall down. So same thing happened. That real problem is that we don't recognize properly. You know, even Jambavan, he was so much attached to Krishna, to his son, that seeing his child crying profusely because of that jewel and not recognizing the importance of that jewel, Jambavan became furious. And as soon as he became angry, the whole process started, that his memory was lost, his intelligence was lost. He became so bewildered and not recognizing Krishna as the Supreme Lord, thinking him as an ordinary person, he attacked him. And that's what happened to us also. Sometimes we consider, when we become so close to the senior devotees, you know, we don't consider them as great. Familiarity breeds contempt. Therefore, it is said that we should try to maintain distance with our Shiksha Gurus and Diksha Gurus, because then we will be realizing the importance of them. Otherwise, you know, we might commit an offense of taking them to be in an ordinary personality, ordinary person. So that offense we should try to avoid. And so therefore, this is the fifth R, is to recognize our position, recognize the position of a spiritual master who is the representative of Supreme Lord. But Jambavan, he committed not the same offense, not recognizing Krishna as his Supreme Lord. And finally, they're fighting, both of them fought, and their fighting went up to 28 days. So after 28 days, Jambavan realized that his strength is getting loosened up, and he is not able to fight with Krishna. So realizing that oh, to whom I'm fighting may not be an ordinary person. So Jambavan, what he did is he started glorifying Krishna, because he knew now, okay, this person is not an ordinary person whom I've just challenged it. And now I have no strength to fight. So what he did, he started glorifying Krishna. Krishna was so pleased. There's an entire section that have been described about the prayers of Jambavan. But Krishna was very much pleased by the Jambavan's glorification, and he bestowed all blessings to him. Krishna told Jambavan that my intention to come to the cave is not to fight with you, but I want to take this jewel for which I have come here. Why? Because I have to disprove the false accusations on me, because there is a false accusation that I have this jewel. So I want to take this jewel back to Dwarka and prove that I didn't possess this jewel. Actually, it was with you, and I want to present it back to the king. So Jambavan said, you know, that's perfectly fine. And recognizing him as his Supreme Lord, Jambavan told Krishna that you are more than welcome to take this jewel. But along with this wonderful jewel, I also want to present my beautiful daughter Jambavati to you. So this way, how Krishna accepted Jambavati, and he married Jambavati. So Jambavati became the legit wife of Krishna. So what actually happened is described by Sanatan Goswami in his Vaishnava Toshani, that actually this appearance during the appearance of Lord Ramachandra, this daughter was born to Jambavan. So at that time, this Jambavan was a bear, but the daughter took a human form, and therefore Jambavan wanted to present his daughter to Lord Ramachandra. But Lord Rama said that I'm ek patni vrata I have taken. I just have one wife as my vow, so I cannot accept Jambavati. Maybe in next yuga, when I come as Krishna, then probably I'll accept. So he ordered actually that time Lord Rama to do some austerities, and later in Dwapar Yuga, I'll accept your daughter. So now this was the Yuga, the Dwapar Yuga, and finally Jambavan presented his daughter Jambavati to Krishna. So what happened that Krishna, those Dwarka Vasis who were staying out, from that cave, who were staying out of that cave, because Krishna told them, you stay outside and I'll go inside the cave and fight with Jambavan. So those Dwarka Vasis stayed there for 12 days, but after 12 days, they had no clue what's going on in the cave. So they went back to Dwarka. And when they returned to Dwarka city, they told that, you know, we don't know now what happened, because Krishna went inside the cave. We waited there for 12 days, but we had no clue now. So we came back. So when Devaki, Mother Rukmini and Vasudev, the all other relatives, and they heard about all this news, they all started lamenting. So what they do, all Dwarkavasis, they started cursing Satyajit. And that it's because of him that Krishna has to go. And now we don't know, we have no clue where Krishna is. So all the Dwarkavasis, they started worshipping Durga. And one of the form of Durga, which was Chandrabhaga, they started praying to her for Krishna's return. So their prayers were heard. And finally, after marrying Jambavati, Krishna returned to Dwarka with Samantaka jewel and his new wife, Jambavati. So all the citizens were very happy seeing Krishna. And Lord Krishna then called upon Satyajit also to the royal assembly. And in the presence of King Ugrasena, he announced the recovery of this jewel. And finally, he presented that jewel to Satyajit. He gave back this jewel to Satyajit. Now, Satyajit was very ashamed because it was just the rumor that he was spreading, right? So hanging his head down, he took that jewel and he came back to his home, but he really felt very ashamed. And pondering over his grievous offense that he committed against Krishna, he was thinking, oh, what can I do so that I can get rid of the offense that I committed? And then, because he wants to regain his good fortune, because he was also being cursed by all the Dwarkavasis, because Dwarkavasis were also very upset. So he was thinking, oh, there should be some good fortune, and how can I call upon? So thinking on that, he thought, okay, let me give my daughter Satyabhama, who is also one of the Kanya Mani, who is also the jewel among all the Kanyas, and let me give this jewel and this my daughter Satyabhama to Krishna. So here come our sixth lesson, that is sixth R, which is repentance. Yes, whenever we commit any grievous offense, we should do the repentance. Repentance is the sincere regret that we feel against what we have done. Either we have done something wrong, we have dishonored somebody, or immorally said something wrong, or harm others through our words. We should do repentance. So repentance is very, very important. And anyone with a healthy consciousness, if they regret doing something wrong and wants to offer some service for the atonement, it is very good. So finally, Satyajit also thought that, okay, this is the best thing what I can do. He literally, wholeheartedly, he regretted what he has done against the grievous offense. And finally, he presented Krishna, his own daughter Satyabhama, along with the Samantaka jewel. And Lord, very happily, he married Satyabhama in a very proper religious fashion. But he told Satyajit that we will not accept your Samantaka jewel. This has been given to you by Sun God. So let this jewel be with you, but I'll accept your daughter Satyabhama. So here we come to our seventh lesson, that is the seventh R, which is the real wealth. So real wealth in our life is to have some godly qualities. Real wealth is the relationship. No amount of money can replace any relationship. Relationship based on any material thing will always result in misery. So this way, Krishna got his two wives, okay? One is through this Samantaka pastime, that is Jambavati and Satyabhama. So after getting these two wives, what happened? Krishna, after this whole episode, one day Krishna, what he did, he heard the news that in Hastinapur, something inauspicious has been happened. So basically, at that time, Pandavas were sent to stay in some lakh, that house of lakh, the house that was made up of lakh, that Lakshagraha. And there was a whole conspiracy, and Duryodhan, along with other Kurus, he decided that, we will burn Pandavas alive. And this news actually spread that Pandavas have been burned alive, and Pandavas are dead. though we all know that how they were escaped, they escaped through that tunnel. But after being escaping from that tunnel, still they were hiding their identity. But as per the Kauravas, they were assured, you know, that Pandavas are no more. And this news also came to Dwarka. So Krishna and Balaram, they went to Hastinapur to console everybody on the death of Pandavas. So in the meanwhile, what happened when Krishna and Balaram were out from Dwarka, at that time, Satadhanva and Krithvarma, they are the two warriors in the Yadava Senas. So they both have a desire to marry Satyabhama. But they were very, very envious. They became envious to Satrajit, because Satrajit previously promised that, you know, he will give his daughter to one of you, either Krithvarma or Satadhanva. Basically, Satadhanva, he promised that I'll give my daughter to you. But later, realizing the offense that Satrajit has committed against Krishna, Krishna thought, okay, there will be no better husband than Krishna. And he finally presented his daughter to Krishna. But Satadhanva, he became really very angry against Satrajit. So what happened? Akrura and Krithvarma, in the absence of Krishna and Balaram, because Krishna and Balaram has went to Hastinapur. So Akrura and Krithvarma, they went to Satadhanva's home and they told him that, why don't you just steal Samantaka jewel from Satrajit? Okay, you didn't get Satyabhama from Satrajit, but at least don't lose Samantaka jewel. Just steal Samantaka jewel from him. And Akrura also became, so Prabhupada writes that Akrura also became the part of this whole entire conspiracy, because he also became the part that telling Satadhanva to go and steal Samantaka jewel from Satrajit. Now, this is why, because Akrura also committed an offense, because when Akrura went to Vrindavan to take Krishna and Balaram, at that time, gopis were profusely crying and they were telling, oh, you are not Akrura, rather you are Krura. You are taking away Krishna and Balaram, who are our life and soul. But at that time, Akrura didn't even acknowledge what gopis were saying. He didn't console the gopis. He just took Krishna and Balaram on his chariot and he took them away. So because of the offense that he committed of not consoling the gopis, he became the part of this entire conspiracy. So Satadhanva, he was instigated by Akrura and Krithvarma. And what he did, he went in the night at the home of Satrajit and he killed Satrajit in his sleep and he took the Samantaka jewel. Now, nobody told him to kill him. They just told that to take this Samantaka jewel to steal. But he killed Satrajit and he took the Samantaka jewel. Now, when Satyabhama came to know about her father's death, she immediately went to Hastinapur and informed Krishna and Balaram about the whole thing. So Krishna and Balaram then came. Sorry. So Krishna and Balaram, then they came back to Dwarka and Krishna took the vow to kill Satadhanva. So Satadhanva, when he came to know that Krishna has taken vow, so he thought, okay, rakhe Krishna mare ke, mare Krishna rakhe ke. If Krishna wants to kill me, nobody can protect me. And if Krishna wants to protect, nobody can kill that person. So as soon as he heard that Krishna has taken vow to kill me, he immediately went to Akrura and asked him, see, you both, he went to Akrura and Krithvarma and he told, see, you both instigated me to do this heinous act. So now you should support us, me, and give me shelter, because Krishna has taken vow to kill me. So Satadhanva, the both, you know, Akrura and Krithvarma said, well, first of all, we didn't say that go and kill Satrajit. We just told you to steal Samantaka jewel. But now there is no way that we can protect you, because if Krishna has decided to kill someone, nobody can protect. So we cannot do anything to you. Satadhanva, you know, he really felt disgusted. And what he did, he gave the Samantaka jewel to Akrura. He said, you take it in your possession as just a caretaker. I'm going out from Dwarka, but once I come back, I'll take this jewel back from you. So he gave this jewel to Akrura and he just ran away from Dwarka. But Krishna and Balaram, when they came to know, they started chasing Satyabhama. And finally, they caught Satyadhanva and they killed him. And Krishna served Satyadhanva, whatever the possessions he had, but he couldn't find the jewel. So he told Balaram that unnecessary we killed Satyadhanva because he doesn't have a jewel. Now we don't know, you know, who is the possessor of this jewel. So at that time, they didn't realize that while chasing Satyadhanva, they have crossed Dwarka and they have come to Mithila. So Balaram told Krishna that, okay, since we have come that far, now let me stay here in Mithila. And I will stay here and now you go back. So Krishna decided to go back to Dwarka. So now when Krishna came back to Dwarka, even Akrura thought that now he is having that jewel. So Krishna might come to know anytime. So what he did, he also ran away from Dwarka and he started staying in Vasi, in this Kashi, Varanasi. But there, Akrura started doing a lot of sacrifices and he was giving charity because he has now jewel, the Samantaka jewel with him, which is giving 170 pounds of gold every day. So, you know, he started doing all different kinds of sacrifices and charity and he was giving opulences, he was distributing money here and there because of the Samantaka jewel. And meanwhile, Dwarka Vasis, they were having a lot of problems, some physical and mental distress, and everyone was thinking because Samantaka jewel is out of Dwarka, nowhere to be seen in Dwarka, that's why Dwarka is facing a lot of problems. They were not realizing that what this Samantaka jewel can bring in auspiciousness. If Krishna is present, who is the source of all auspiciousness, then how can there be any inauspiciousness? So finally, the news came to Dwarka that there is one person who is, giving a lot of charity and Varanasi is flourishing. This Kashi city is flourishing because of the great opulence. And Krishna came to know that Akrura is there and Akrura might be having this Samantaka jewel. Otherwise, how come Akrura, who was not really sound, you know, he was not so much opulent, he doesn't possess any wealth, how come he is giving a lot of charity and all? So he summoned Akrura to come to Dwarka. So on the orders of Krishna, Akrura came to Dwarka and Krishna told, see, we all know that you don't have any wealth of your own. So how you are doing this charity is because you have this Samantaka jewel with you. So why don't you present in front of the entire Dwarka? Just show us once that you have this Samantaka jewel. So Akrura became so ashamed and finally he took out the Samantaka jewel and he placed that jewel in front of Krishna. Everyone saw that jewel and Krishna then very sweetly, you know, he took that jewel and he gave back to Akrura. And he said, okay, you take care of this jewel and perform a lot of sacrifices because you are the right person who can make the best use of this jewel. So you kindly keep it. I just want to make sure that all the Dwarkavasis know where that jewel is. So now you just keep this jewel with you and perform a lot of sacrifices and charity. And we don't want this jewel. So Akrura, he really felt very much ashamed, but he put that jewel back into his neck and he accepted the jewel by Krishna because Krishna himself personally presented. So Akrura accepted that jewel and he wore it around his neck and he was also shining brightly like sun. So here comes our last lesson, that is last R, which is renunciation, which is actually the quality of Krishna. Krishna can renounce anything. But even the devotees of Krishna also possess this quality. They also easily renounce anything that comes to them. Why? Because they know that if anything which cannot be used in Krishna's service, why to possess it? So renunciation, and actually renunciation, vairagya, and devotional service, bhakti, they run along parallel lines. So when we are into devotional service, that renunciation automatically comes. It's one of the characteristics, it's a byproduct, you can say, of doing any kind of devotional service. And to attain this proper devotion for Krishna, one must practice some little amount of renunciation. That is very, very important. So finally, Sukadeva Goswami ended this chapter here after describing this entire pastime about what happened to Samantaka Jewel, who presented this Samantaka Jewel to Satrajit, and how Krishna married married two ladies. One is Satyabhama, who was the daughter of Satrajit, and Jambavati was the daughter of Jambavan. So this way, describing two marriages of Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami paused here. And we also will pause here to our Krishna Katha Mela. And tomorrow, definitely, we are going to have a grand finale, because tomorrow will be the wonderful session by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. So we'll stop. Thank you all so much for joining. And Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Yes, Mataji, now you can unmute. Whoever asked that one, I just came to unmute. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Kirti Rasundari Mataji, what a fantastic class. I was actually thinking of all the lessons, all the hours. They are so valuable, and I definitely need all the hours. I need to work on all the hours. So thank you so much for throwing light on them. I thought every one was important. First, I thought maybe I should pick one or two that I liked, but it looks like everything is so important. Each one of these hours that you touched on was so important. Thank you so much, Mataji. It was very, very, I don't know, I was very involved in hearing. It was very nice. It was so engrossing, the entire story and the lessons. So I did have a question. I don't remember this properly, so I just wanted to get some more light on this topic. So did Krishna want to keep the jewel because it was actually Satyabhama's rightful claim or something like that, because it belonged to her father, right? So did he have any such thoughts on it like that?
Krishna, to please, I don't think so anywhere it's mentioned that Krishna want to have this. But yes, Satyabhama's son can be the rightful claim.
Rightful claim. Okay. Satyabhama's son. Okay.
Mm. But right now, Krishna told Akrura that you just keep it with
keep
you.
It. So then Akrura was the one who ended up having it. And he settled in Dwarka after that, or he went back to Kashi?
It is mentioned that he went back to Kashi.
Kashi. Interesting. Very, very interesting. And also I was thinking, it's interesting that Satyabhama's father was also in Dwarka, right? I mean, or he was visiting Dwarka. What was
it? He was a Dwarka.
He was a Dwarka Vasi, so he decided to settle in his son-in-law's place. Oh, no, it was before the marriage, right? So,
he was originally from Dwarka.
Originally from Dwarka, I get it. Okay.
He had no desire to, because he promised Krithavarma and Sattadhanva to give his daughter. So he had idea to give his daughter Satyabhama to Krishna. He was a Dwarkavasi. Actually, Satyabhama Goswami writes in his commentary that he was a Dwarkavasi, but still being a Dwarkavasi, staying in Krishna's abode, he was not attracted to Krishna and he was attracted to Sun God.
Wow, that's amazing. That's really, really amazing. So I was even thinking, as you were telling that you were quoting Harivamsha and you were telling how the effulgence of the sun god kind of reduced after he gave that jewel to Satrajit. So that kid that was playing, right, was Jambavan's baby, that one was able to behold that shine. I was
How it was possible, I really.
I was really thinking about how that baby could, you know, behold the shine. And also the history part you explained very well, that actually Satyabhama was all from waiting from such a long time to be married to Krishna. Not Satyabhama, Jambavati. Yeah, very interesting stories, Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, as usual. Fantastic class, and always, I always say, when you speak, we try to really imbibe. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Kirti Sundari Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. What a fantastic class. Fantastic class. And one thing I wanted to say, that actually Krishna tells Satyajit to, tells Akrura to hold on to it until Satyabhama's son comes of age and it could be given to him. So it's just held in.
I see. Okay.
He's just taking care of it until the right time. If I remember correctly, I remember hearing that Jambavan actually had this desire to fight with Lord Ram because he was also a very he wanted to have that benediction of being able to fight with Lord Ram, and so that's why he in Krishna Avataram. So that's one thing.
Sanatan Goswami, you are right, Paneshwari Mataji. I didn't brought everything, otherwise class would.
I just desire
to fight, you know, with Krishna.
Right. Right. And you know how I like to fight, to make the connections from, you know, going down. All, so this, it just, you know, it just, it's just beautiful to me. Also, I was thinking about, Revati, you know, she was also born, right? Satya Yuga, Balaram's wife, right? And she had to wait until this Dwapara Yuga in order for her, the right person for her to come. So I was just thinking about that. And then the final thing I was thinking is, you know, as I was looking at you.
You're muted, Mataji. I can't hear.
Got a call. Anyway, I was trying to see how they actually also are kind of like a progressive thing in a sense, because, you know, you rationalize, the resources, all these things lead to the real wealth, which was 6, 7, and 8, and then renunciation. So I was just thinking how not only are they steps independently, but they're also kind of connected in a certain way. So I don't know. It was just amazing class. As always, you know, you are, how does my mom would say that you've fallen out of the mouth of my father's, what she'd say about me. You've fallen out of the mouth of your spiritual master. So, so we can see his mood, and thank you so very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Paneshwari Mataji, for your kind association and your lovely comments. Thank you. Please pray that I may please my spiritual master. That's my only desire.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Yes, go ahead, Mataji.
Thanks, Mataji. Hare Krishna Mataji. Such a beautiful class, as beautiful as you are. And Mataji, at least I got some clarity with the names. I always get confused between Shatadhanva and Shatrajit and all the Shas. So it was very useful for me, Mataji. But in the middle, I had to do something, but I will go back and listen. I was listening the whole time, but a little distracted in between. So thank you so much, Mataji, for this beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you, Sukhsagari Mataji, for your kind association.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanwad Pranam. Thank you so much for a wonderful class, Mataji. I could not hear the entire thing. I only logged in later. But what I heard, it definitely had a strong connection to today morning's class also. Today morning, we were doing 5th Canto, 14th Chapter, Text 7, where we talk about gold and how that is yellow stool. So in this, it was a very, very hard verse, and translation and purport was very, very it just hits us in the head. And over here, you're talking about what is the real wealth. Real wealth is relationship, not all this gold that he was getting. And just because he attained, I mean, he got that benediction and he has been getting all those goals, he's brought in the envy of so many people. And it seems like even when Akrura, like I was just thinking of this with in relation to yesterday's class also, how the so Akrura goes to Varanasi, Akrura goes to Kashi, and he goes and spends all this wealth that he is accumulating every day, that he's acquiring every day. So he was using that for good purposes in Varanasi. And yesterday Mataji was saying that at the end of it all, Krishna goes, I mean, his Sudarshan Chakra goes to Kashi and he completely destroys the entire city. So just that wealth that is, you know, received this way is also not going to help anyone. It's not of anyone's benefit. So that just struck me. But very wonderful class, Mataji. I did have a question. Why did Balaram go to Mithila? Was there any reason?
Yeah, it is explained that he want to stay in Mithila and he want to accept their, what do you say, their hospitality. And there he also taught Duryodhan the art of using club.
Oh, okay. So even after he finding out that the Duryodhan is responsible for the Pandavas, you know, in the lack.
Balaram never agreed to it. He always thinks that Duryodhan is a good guy. He is a Duryodhana guru.
Okay. But thank you very much.
He wanted to marry, you know, his sister Subhadra to do
it. Right.
Balaram is very favorable to Duryodhan.
Thank you so much, Mataji. You're always very, very beautiful and so many lessons for us to learn practically also. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, ma'am.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanavad Pranam, our glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Last class with lot of lessons. Very hard to digest. Means for me, you know, every day I face that I have all that anarthas what you are explaining today. So for me, it was like, oh my God, where I am now, so many hours to practice in the life. And very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Such a beautiful points you are telling, like, you know, relationships are more important. And the other thing is, I really like is, you know, if Mathuravasis were thinking that where is this jewel and why the wealth is going on, but real wealth is Krishna. Wherever Krishna is there, that is the real wealth you are talking, and it was so nice. And you were also explaining about that things, right? Before you were quoting some story, like I forgot the name, but you are telling like before somebody comes and tells about our friends, you know, you analyze it. Three stages, and then you let it come towards you. Otherwise, don't let it come. Maybe if this is followed by all of us, maybe so many relations will stay, and like, you know, it won't just go like that. Because these days relationships are not like olden days. Before olden days, you know, whatever it happens, they stick together. But now it's small things. Okay, what is you in my life? You know, you thought you I can lead my life. It is that kind of mentality is there in this Kali Yuga. But that one point I really like, Mataji, what you said. And I also like the connection from yesterday's class and today's class. Like yesterday we saw like how if you take the bad association, whole Kasi was is happened like that, right? Now here also we see that, you know, you should not spread the bad rumors and you should not be the part of it. And the connection I felt in both the classes, Mataji, such a beautiful points. And I was thinking one more point also was very nice. I don't know if I'm able to get it. It is so beautiful, Mataji. So many points you were explaining. Yeah, Mataji. And also the thing before, if somebody gives you advice, we think, okay, why other person need to tell me? I know better than them. Who are they, you know? And that point also is very nice, Mataji. Even though we don't like it or like it, you just need to hold it out. Don't just say that I don't want to do it. You just hold it and think before doing it. And the other thing that you were telling, the instructions coming from the guru, it might not come directly. It might come through the lectures. You have to take it very to the heart and, you know, try to make it implement, like how you told your personal experience. Very beautiful class, Mataji. In the beginning, 15 minutes I missed because my Prabhu was going to lab and I was rushing out to send him to the lab. So I missed. I will go back and listen 15 minutes class. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you so much, Vinita Gandharvika Mataji, for your association.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharajas. Thank you so much, Mataji. I missed yesterday, so I have to go back and listen to that to find the connection. But it is so wonderful, Mataji. And, you know, the RJ Media has an entire movie on it. So I could just connect everything that you're saying. Mataji, in that drama, what they showed on RJ Media, when Rukmini had asked Krishna, why do you have so much attachment for this stone? And then he says, this is actually belongs to Radharani. And when she entered into Yamuna, she gave this, money to, or the stone to Suryadev. Did you hear something on that line, Mataji? No, yeah. It is there in the RJ Media, because what I have seen so far, they usually make, of course, they make the movies based on scripture. So I was just wondering, will you bring that up on? So yeah,
I think it was there in one of this Lalita Madhava or Vidak Madhava, in one of that.
That Samantha was actually presented to Sun God by Radharani.
Yes, and
yes.
Then,
when she
Okay, maybe I'm not sure about it.
Yeah. I mean, when she decides that she doesn't want to keep her life, something on that line, then she decided to enter Yamuna. Yamuna is the daughter of Sun God, and like that, how that's how. It goes to sun, and that's how, you know, the entire story, that's the one part. And yes, Mataji, those hours are so wonderful. Thank you. As many Mataji said, that even I need to re-listen, though I listen the entire class, but I want to, you know, make sure that I get what you're giving, the lessons. And very, very beautiful, Mataji. And the way you explain it, you know, yes, Priti Vilasini Mataji says it imbibes. So thank you again, Mataji. Thank you so much for your association and all the explanation, Mataji. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat Pranam. And thank you for bringing up that point. I didn't know that jewel was presented by Radharani to Sun God. Yeah. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. So beautiful.
She has one question. In the chat box, she wants to know about the R's. She said, can you repeat all the R's? So yeah, the first lesson was rationalize your thinking, which is the first R. Second is that resources without realization can end up into destruction. So we should use the resources properly, whatever the resources we have. Third R was the rejection to the good advice of our seniors, our spiritual masters, our Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru. Fourth ours was not to be the part of any rumor. Rumors are not good, so we should try not to be the part of any rumor. The fifth R was to recognize the position of our seniors, recognize the position of our Shiksha and Diksha Guru, where we discussed about the familiarity breeds contempt. Sixth R was repentance, that as soon as we realize that we have committed any offense against others, that regret, that repentance should come, because that's going to save us. Then seventh R was, what is the real wealth in our life? So real wealth is not to have the material wealth as such, but real wealth is the relationship, to have godly qualities. That's the real wealth. And finally, the eighth R was renunciation. How the devotees are so much renunciant, because they know that everything has to be used in Krishna's service, not for their own sense gratification. So they were the eight R's. Hope that helps.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much for this wonderful class. It was so nectarian. I could hear the whole class, fortunately, even though I was busy in the kitchen. And it was a wonderful narration, Mataji. Thank you so much. Dandavat Pranams to you.
Thank you, Mataji. Dandavat Pranams. And I think so, Anuradha Mataji has sent the link of that drama. So maybe everybody can take a note of it and we all can watch it. Thank you so much, Anuradha Mataji. Okay, so thank you all so much. Yes, Radharani Mataji, you can take over now.
Vinita Mataji, you want to announce?
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna Mataji, today is Nandapriya Narmada Mataji's birthday. After the call, please don't leave. We all want to wish her after I stop the live and call. Just want to tell that.
Very nice.
Thank you so much, Kirtida Mataji.
So, Bahulashtami, that is the appearance day of Radha Kund. So, just keep Srimati Radharani's Kund is dear to Krishna as Srimati Radharani is. So be conscious of her. Today we can read Radha Kundashtakam. It is there on KK Songs. So you can just go through that. And if you have Radha Kund water at your home, take a sip of it. Or if not, then apply some Vrajraj if you have at your home. Or Radha Kund Mitti, if you have put Tilak of Radha Kund Mitti. So this way, you know, be conscious because today is the most appearance of Srimati Radha Kund. Okay, thank you. Yes, Radharani Mataji, you can take over.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Again, once again, for such a beautiful and wonderful class, Mataji. As everyone said, like new lessons for me, especially that 8 hours. And thank you so much explaining each hour with each hour. Example and also relating to the story, as you are saying, starting we just don't go only with the story but something different. That was very nice, Mataji. Thank you so much. So with your permission, I think so, Mataji, you read all the chat messages or
okay? Thank you.
If nobody have any other questions or realizations to Mataji, with your permission, can we end the call here? Let's pay our obeisances to Mataji, Vancha Kalpatarupyasya, Krupa Sindhupyayavacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavibhyo, Namo Namaha. Granta Krishna Katha Mela Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Har Grace Kirtida Sundari Mataji Ki Jai. Thank you once again, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. So tomorrow we are going to listen from Srila Prabhupada. Don't miss. Please join.
Okay. Thank you.